We're back with the Danger Room's 24 Days of Christmas. This year, we're doing one episode per affiliation, each with its own special guest. We made an effort this year to bring in some guests from all over the world. Sit back, listen, and Merry Christmas. Hello, and welcome to another Christmas episode of the Danger Room. This time, I have Simon Jerry with me. Simon, introduce yourself and tell the listeners what you're playing.
Yeah, my name's Simon, also known on the internet mostly as Vodka Blitz. And today I am bringing out the man, the myth, the legend, Ulysses Claw, the black market entrepreneur as leader of criminal syndicates.
Yeah, I was thinking about what to do for the CS episode this year and realized that Vodka's, his claw stuff was super fun. And like I was telling him before this cast, I almost lost to one of my locals playing claw. He was playing it as a meme and he had a diceless win on the table, and otherwise he would have had me. He just missed that. But the leadership definitely is better than you probably think, and it can get you off guard, plus his little push thing.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to agree with that. The list actually started out as me testing claw in X-Men as an Guardian of the Galaxy / CGR answer, because he has good energy defense, immunity to shock and incinerate, stun on a builder before damage, and unrestricted size push. All tools which you kind of like against big potatoes in general. And ended up being really surprised by how good he was if he's not moving every turn. So I figured I was going to give his leadership a try, and was very pleasantly surprised by how well it plays compared to how bad it reads.
Yeah, exactly. You read it and you're like, wow, this is basically like a Hulkbuster tier leadership. Like, when am I ever playing this thing? Or like, AMG just put a throwaway mechanic on this character.
Yeah, but once you put it on the table and see it in action, it's really surprisingly good. I'd even go as far as to say, and that's already my hot take from the get-go, I think Claw and his leadership is probably, after Kingpin, the second best CS leader. His leadership is worse than Shadowlands for sure, but you're not carrying that big boat anchor that Shadowlands is. Just like, he has three threat attacks. Yes, he's tanky, but he's not doing anything too relevant on the board. Whilst Claw is honestly a machine. Like, his builder is super gnarly. He brings control. He's immune to a lot of stuff, and just like punches really surprisingly hard.
Yeah, sick. So we should probably talk about what's in this, the 10 of this list.
Yeah. Honestly, there's a lot of the things that are pretty staples of CS at this point. Like, you've got Bullseye. He's your affiliated two threat. He's just a good character in general, helps you with threat costs, especially since Claw is a 5 threat. You got your classic CS staples and Black Hat and Rhino for extract steals and just mobile characters. I think the first really deviation you get from standard CS list is Elektra, and I think she really is linchpin of this list, especially since she got her update, because now her builders, her attack's actually a gainer, which helps her get going a lot. And the big edge she has over all other grunts character is that it's very easy for her to spawn them back. Like, range 3 attack gets you the ninjas back, even if they're the worst grunts in a game. Just them being there and dying repeatedly to trigger your leadership makes a huge difference. And just being able to like have your grunts move, pick up an extract, pass it on, Elektra goes, triggers your leadership, then she attacks, spawns them again. You're just like constantly churning through ninjas, and it really helps you get going. Then in the list, I have two characters that really grew on me, especially when I started playing CS. The first is M'Baku, which was a really, really pleasant surprise on the table. I wasn't expecting much from a character whose every form of like displacement, action compression is on their action and attacks specifically. But on the table, he's also a character that plays a lot better than he reads. His spender is super gnarly. It's 8 dice, throw size 4 medium automatically, and gets a cleave, small advance, and a builder afterwards. Like, he plays super well, brings terrain throw, and just complements Claw overall really well. The other character that I really liked into wider lists, which are harder for Claw to control, is Killmonger. He's really there to farm 2, 3, and 4 threats and just take them off the table as soon as possible and eat through them. Which brings me to the dual affiliation side of Claw, because Claw is a character that's really an E-shaped specialist in all essence. Like, he doesn't like moving around. His displacement is limited to ranged 3 around him. So is his builder. So you really want to play in those narrow maps where you're able to control the opposing models much more. So the next two splashes are Black Panther, which is just still a great character. Like, after all these years, still great. Not as tanky as he was before, but who is in face of CGR's Spender. Then I have Okoye to both help protect Claw when you need to play him on wider maps and to help make affiliation when you need to play Wakanda. The last piece I have is a splash to both lists, so neither CS nor Wakanda, but just fulfills pretty much everything the list wants to do. So Hela, Queen of Hell, she brings you a safe extract with Eyes on a Prize. She interacts very positively with Elektra and Claw's leadership. Like, whenever one of your character dies or is dazed, she gains a soul. And if your goal is to farm Claw's movement as much as you can, she really benefits from that. She's super mobile. She's good on pay to flips, punches fairly hard. She just fills a lot of niches the list needs.
Yeah, I agree. I've been pretty excited to play Hela lately. She feels just amazing on pay to flips.
For sure. Like, the Death's Embrace, her movement superpower has just been really, really awesome. Short move on a medium base for free every turn is really, really good. It helps her get going a lot, helps her on pay to flips. Like, it just fuels her kit very well.
Yeah, I agree. And it also gives her some healing too, right? So, and you can, it's kind of like a charge that does free damage and heals you randomly, which is pretty sweet. I love Elektra. She's really cool. I played her a bunch since she got changed. My one gripe with her is that I really, really wish Assassin Step was before damage and didn't require damage. It's really frustrating to chuck ranged attacks and then not be able to teleport.
Her gainer is really, really good, but a few times it whiffs. You really feel terrible when you need her to move around with it, and it just doesn't happen. She's also really, really squishy. Just, like, martial prowess is not a good superpower, and she's 4-3-3 across the board, which is not great. Like, you take it over nothing, but that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, martial prowess also just got worse with her +1 defense that she got in the update. I really wish... I don't think she is that amazing. I think she's, like, she's better, but I think she's like an okay 4 threat is my read on her, but I definitely agree that she should be here for the grunts because of Claw.
Yeah, and honestly, I think one of the things I really like with this list is, yes, you have a lot of relatively fragile character like Elektra, Killmonger, M'Baku, even Hela to some extent. But the thing is, you have so many, they're all still really good beaters. Like, they still all punch pretty hard, which forces your opponent into this position of, like, I can either daze Killmonger or Elektra, but I'll get kicked in the ass from the other. So they're stuck in this dilemma of, like, all of your targets are pretty threatening, and whichever one you kill, the other one's going to get you. And Claw gets to move and do his thing. So it's like, it's basically you're trying to put your opponent in a position where, like, everything's a bad choice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you got, like, Killmonger, M'Baku, Elektra, Rhino, kind of just, like, hanging around.
You're like, who are you going to get? And that's the basic idea of the list, right? You play narrow scenarios with good beaters and just try to use Claw as your main source of control and just kill whatever gets into your range.
Yeah, I mean, Claw's leadership is I mean, we all know how insane Sam Wilson's leadership is, and the movement part of Sam Wilson's leadership is probably the best part of it. And Claws is that, but it's only for himself, but it works on grunt deaths.
And it works on anything, like whether the dazes or KOs come from you or not, it works. So you still, even if you get like dazed out of activation or for whatever reason, you get counterstruck and dazed, you still get your leadership. Whatever the source of the daze or KO was.
Yep, exactly. It's not like enemy effect or anything. Like you could even die to like bleed damage or die to cube damage, right? And still get move.
Yeah, same for scenarios, which is a surprisingly nice thing to get. Like if one of your character dazes from like madman traps or deadly meteors, you still get your movement trigger and hopefully change the activation priority of your opponent.
I mean, so I guess I'm curious on your Wakanda duel here. When's that come out? I think you mentioned when it's not narrow and Claw kind of struggles.
Yeah, honestly, I think especially with like Black Panther, Hela, Rhino, Black Cat, you have a lot of mobile characters. And it mostly comes out on like Bs or Ds, right? Where Claw's leadership probably isn't at its best, where people tend to want to pivot a lot, where you need just to be mobile overall. Like, not to say Claw is a bad piece on those scenarios, like when you're playing Spider Portals, for instance. Like, I wouldn't play Claw under his own leadership, but he's still a really, really good Spider Portal piece. So mostly in those instances where you need to go like from one side to the other, so B's and D's for the most part. On the rest, I mainline Claw. It's really more my backup plan, which I expect to change from Black Panther to King T'Challa when he comes out, just because Claw synergizes really well with T'Challa and the other vice versa. For those who don't know, T'Challa's leadership is whenever one of your character pushes an opponent into terrain, they take one. The edge with Claw is that he pushes during your opponent's turn, so you can always poke them for one pretty much for free often, which is exciting, at least on paper. I don't know how well that's going to pan out on the table, but on paper, it's pretty spicy.
That's pretty cool, actually. I like it. So I guess we could move on to tactics cards, I think. Yeah?
There's a couple fairly staple things. Like I have Robbery for Rhino, Use Up the Throne for Killmonger, Eyes on the Prize for Hallow Safe Extracts. My restricted cards are Brace and Sacrifice. Sacrifice just to control dazes, protect activations, and even just trigger Claw's leadership at some very annoying or inopportune time for my opponent. Like getting a daze character on their second attack, moving Claw into position to push someone off a point on a last activation is really gross. I've had it happen on Fisk, where just Sacrifice into Bullseye daze, move Claw in, character ends their turn, push them away from the Fisk, and now I score it. Which works really well. And yeah, it's a little reminiscent of S.H.I.E.L.D. with like all the shenanigans you have and just making your opponent think about a lot of counterplay you have on their turn. To a lesser extent, of course, but still, like, it's annoying to think and play around. So I have Wakanda Forever for my Splash, which is my only Wakanda cards. My CS cards are All According to Plan, Cruelty, and Cruelty. All According to Plan just plays great. The Steel Prio, especially with a lot of very lethal characters. If you have Hela ready to do a spender and take a model off the board, Killmonger's usurp turn is usually also a good opportunity to get it going and to be able to steal it from the kaijus and just try to punish them off the board. And what else do I have? Two other cards left are Fallback and Mission Objective. Just pretty much MCP, like neutral card staples. Fallback's just good most of the time, either to protect your model or in conjunction with Mission Objective to move back, pass an objective to a friend. They're just solid all-rounders.
Yeah, I don't really have a ton to add. I guess I'm a little curious why Cruelty's here.
Yeah, Cruelty honestly was something I was trying out early on. But I noticed, like, especially with characters like Elektra and all these, and Killmonger in particular, where sometimes you just need to get that last point of damage through, and it makes such a big difference on usurp turn, or Elektra gets to refund one power back from the card. The card is also not limited to CS characters. Like, anyone can play it, even if it's CS affiliated. So just getting that third attack came in clutch so often that I felt it really deserved the place on this list. I was just honestly pleasantly surprised by how well it plays.
I mean, so what kind of games are you looking at bringing Cruelty?
Honestly, most low-scoring games. I think it's one of my most played tactics card, actually, with this list. Just because, like, I know it's happened to almost every MCP player in their career, where you leave a model on, like, one health and you really needed to take them off the board. And it's honestly mostly for that, and to help Killmonger get his Zerp when there's shenanigans on the opposing side. It's just I felt generically surprisingly good card, and since a lot of your characters build their power very well but don't spend it necessarily super well, it's a good outlet for that, just to get free hit.
That makes sense. Have you considered Cruel Tutelage?
Yes, I did. My two other considerations were Cruel Tutelage and Joint Effort. I played both for some time. I really liked Cruel Tutelage, but my issue was that the stagger from it was really rough on a lot of these characters, where they often need their two activations if they get it. And since most of my list are four threats, losing an action was, I felt, a little too much for the three extra die compared to Cruelty. And I played Joint Effort from some time just because I have Claw Spender is a beam 5 with 7 dice and a Wild Pierce. And since you have, like, Electra and her grunts and a bunch of characters all across the board, it really made a huge impact. But the problem is that Claw Spender, as good as it is, still costs 5 power. And I'd rather push 2 models off points than do a Spender most of the time. His Spender is super good, but I just tend to only use it when he gets dazed and flips, or when you're lucky and spike on dice, but it's not good enough a reason to include it in my main game plan.
Yeah, understood. I'm curious, when you're bringing in Killmonger specifically, are you playing Usurp with him all the time if he's in? What are you looking for in the opponent list that you're like, yeah, I have to play Killmonger?
Mostly against wide scenario lists. Like, it could be Webs, Hellfire Club, Sam Vengers for the most part. It's mostly to help deal with, like, those quote-unquote weenie or mid-range lists. I'm looking just to get ahead on attrition, and because Claws is a great control tool, but it's still pretty expensive to push models around, and paying 3 to push someone like Sam Wilson off a point doesn't feel super good. So Killmonger usually comes in against, like, very mid-range lists where I expect a lot of 3s and 4s, sometimes a 5, but not much higher than that, which is where I think Killmonger really shines, when he can get loaded on kill counts and just start churning through models. I think it's where he's at his best. So it mostly against white lists.
Yeah, if Killmonger has, like, multiple targets to usurp, it can give you a lot of flexibility in playing it.
Yeah, like, a good example for this is Hellfire Club, where usually they run, like, Emma, Bill, Rhino. Like, there's a lot of 4 to choose from, and they don't tend to play a lot of 5-plus threat models. So it really helps get the ball going and try to catch up on VPs when you're behind, like, these fast-scoring teams.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then M'Baku is mostly for, like, dealing with kaijus, I'd imagine?
Yeah, like, both him and Claw together tend to churn through kaijus really, really well. Like, M'Baku's attacks are really good. He is also, like, for me, it's really important to have good terrain throws just to not have to take them all in the face. So since my list mostly wants to play narrow maps where Rhino's not at his best, M'Baku's really good when he doesn't have to move often and only needs his attacks to get going. He gets to throw terrain and, like, make sure I don't eat it all.
Yeah, I like it. I think we talked a little bit about that on the Hellfire episode, where you could do a lot of attrition damage through terrain throws, and if you're getting rid of it, then it's not getting thrown at you.
Yeah, because that's one of the things with Claw. Like, his defense profile is a little weird. He's 3-5-3, which means he really doesn't like getting shit thrown at him. Sure, he gains extra power when he's attacked by physical attacks or dodges, but it's still only 3 defense on a 5 on a 7 on a 5 threat, 7 health. So he still doesn't like getting thrown shit too much at his face. So I want to try to at least mitigate that a little.
Yeah, I mean, his stat line is similar to Ghost Rider, like OG Ghost Rider, and OG Ghost Rider can definitely fall over quick. So we should talk about the missions a little bit.
Yeah, Claw's mission spread is actually really a little whack. My extracts are the things that makes the most sense. A research station, narrow map, you get push off the points, the grunts, the ninjas contest the researcher. Like, research station builds itself with this list. Like, you also have Panther, who's really good on it. You can just build a fairly efficient team from starting at 15 threat, which works super well. Like, usually my default 15 would be something like Claw, Bullseyes, Electro, and Black Panther, right? You can control, you can damage, you get a little bit of everything. Works super well. Hammer is his there actually really for Claw, just because it's one of the scenarios where you can safe extract with Hela, or and have Electra use the ninjas to pass the hammer to Claw, triggering the leadership immediately, which means if there's a central secure, he can get there in one move and have an attack, and hopefully like get enough power to push whoever else wants to come on that point. And Deadly Legacy is just basically a very slow very slow extract with a high threat value, because when you have a 5 threat leader that whose leadership wants to go as wide as it can, I'd rather play more threat than not if I can help it, just to get more triggers out of the leadership. Then going into secures, the two non-surprise are probably Gamma and Demons, for same reason as Researcher and Legacy. They're just like decent threat values where Claw gets to do his thing often. Especially on Gamma, his push is really gnarly, like pushes you outside of Gamma range, take a free damage. Then you have to move back in, attack once. He gets really, really annoying really, really fast. On Demons, he also has the benefit of being immune to incinerates and able to control fairly well the middle. If you don't want to put him on the central Demons portal, he can still at least sit back a little and be in range to push anyone on the point if they want to score it. Last but not least is Scoundrels, which is like at the extreme opposite of Demons Downtown. It's about as far as you can get. But having a lot of characters with good mobility and displacement, like M'Baku, Panther, and Claw himself, I think gives me really good game on Scoundrels. And Claw himself is actually really good against teams that like Scoundrels. His builder stuns before damage and takes power away and moves characters, so he punches really, really well into Web Warriors. Since he cannot be pushed or advanced by superpowers, he isn't controlled super well by webs, so he just brings solid game into them. Same against Kingpin, right? If you can displace models when they activate and they just try to sit there, you move them away and don't care if they count twice if they're not on the point, which is pretty much the reasoning. Like, you have most of Kingpin's tool plus some additional controlled instead of high scoring, so it plays surprisingly well.
Looking at these scenarios, I guess I have a question. Do you think playing Kingpin in this list would be worth it as like a double leadership?
Yeah, honestly, I think the reason I'm not playing Kingpin in this list is just because I really wanted to have Claw be my main plan. But I think realistically, if I wanted to do a CS list, I would play Kingpin first and have Claw be my E-specialist second leader. Because honestly, like with Bullseye, Black Hat, Rhino, you still have all your staple CS characters. The only real concession you need to make is Elektra, which is honestly not too bad. Like, she's not the best Kingpin piece, but she's still a fine affiliated piece. And the rest you could splash to like fill up the niches you need. Hela's good on Pay to Flip, which helps both Claw and Kingpin. So I think you play her over Bill still. Sure, she's less tanky, but not being able to die with souls helps, if only to pass extracts on her with the leadership and be really annoying. I think I had one game recently in a tournament where she got to live 3 times by just charging enough souls, which was really obnoxious for my opponent. Like, he was, oh, I dazer, oh, claim 3 souls, go back. And 3 times in a row was really, really gross.
Yeah, I've played her a bunch in X-Men specifically, but I can definitely see why, how cool she would be in Shield. You can keep her alive with the cards, and she can handle Pay to Flips, which Shield doesn't love either, and she's a great gun. So if I was playing Shield, I'd be playing Hela for sure.
Yeah, that's one thing for me. Like, I like Hela. If you don't have any ways of feeding power to your models, I tend to prefer Hela over Bill, just because Bill, with his two power, needs an extra kicker to just get going early on after he eyes. He plays eyes on a prize, which Hela doesn't, which was the tiebreaker in addition to the souls slash claw leadership mechanic.
So if you were going to put Kingpin into this, would you swap out Black Panther?
As of now, I don't think so, just because I think Black Panther plays both leaderships really well. He's still a good control piece. He's still durable. He brings a long mover, good mobility. He's just really annoying to deal with. I think I'd keep him. I think probably Okoye or M'Baku would go, or maybe both. I'd have to play around it. But this list, since I wanted to like focus heavily on Claw, I didn't include Kingpin. But I think realistically, that would be my CS plan. Like mainline Kingpin, splash Claw for when you're stuck on demons.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting and cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think on paper, that's probably the best Claw build. Like just being a little like Cyclops with Storm. I think Storm's leadership is better, but Cyclops fixes a lot of your bad matchups. I think the same goes for Claw and Kingpin, where Claw just basically solves you playing on Gamma or Demons almost by himself.
That's really interesting, actually, especially now that Gamma's slower.
He just helps you with slow scoring scenarios in general.
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised by Claw. I think I like him. He definitely needs to be enabled a little bit.
Honestly, that was the biggest thing for me when I tried it. I'm an X-Men. Like, Storm gives him mobility, Cyclops with Field Leader, and as long as he doesn't need to get moving and just gets to attack twice every turn, he really pulls his weight. Like, his builder is super gross.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost interested in this build, but maybe swap in Kingpin and, like, original MODOK, maybe? Play Aim Lackeys?
Oh, yeah. That I could see.
Yeah, that I don't know how good it is. It's a lot of points, but it could be fun.
It's worth trying out, right? Honestly, that's what did it for me. I was trying out this list as, like, weird tech, and it just ended up being a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, something I'm going to try to do more of that I've kind of started now, but also in the future, is just play like 10 to 15 games with something and see where that puts me. I think too often I'll play something once or twice and then be like, nah. And it's too easy to just have like complete dice chaos in one or two games that you don't get a good read on something.
Yeah, like variance in MCP is still pretty high, even if like you know the game very well, know the characters very well. Sometimes just finding these weird synergies or niches where something excels that you wouldn't have thought about is one of the reasons I actually like brewing in MCP. Just figuring shit out, putting weird shit on the table. I find it personally super fun.
Yeah, I think I would encourage listeners to try out Claw, and that's why I had Simon come on this episode, because, like I said, I got paired against my local playing Claw, and I was like, all right, well, he's just like memeing. This should not be a problem. And then it's like, I was basically dead.
That's the thing for me, right? Not to take away anything from Kingpin, but I don't think Kingpin in principle has changed a lot in the past at least couple months. Like, the general principles of his list and playstyle are still similar-ish. I'm no Kingpin expert, so I'll defer. Maybe I'm super wrong, and tell me about it if I am. But I think like his fundamentals are pretty much the same. And I think Claw, for me, was like very looked over. He came out with the M'Baku around the same time as CGR. So I think he fell under a rock for the longest time. Just as an example, like at the time of recording, over 50% of Claw leadership games on Longshanks are mine. It gives you an idea of just how much he's not played. Like, I didn't play him that much. Like, I'm probably at this point, including practice game, maybe 40, 50 games with him. And it's just like, he just was so never played that I think people skipped it over and just forgot he was there.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, nobody really considered him, and I think he's definitely worth considering. But there are some other... I pulled up the list of Syndicate characters. There's some more characters I want to ask about that I think would be cool. I mean, Mysterio seems like he's made for this list.
Yeah, I did try Mysterio in my first brew of this. But the thing I figured I really needed, and one of the reasons there's actually really few three threats on this list, is just because I think Claw by himself is already a huge star player, and I don't think you need that much more E-specialist than him, which is why I ended up cutting Mysterio. But Mysterio is like already super fun to play, so if you just want to do a good E shape list with control and like funky tools, I encourage you very hard to play both Mysterio and Claw. They're a blast to play if, like, they're not the most competitive thing, but they're a ton of fun. Like, bring that list to your local store and play it out. It's really, really amazingly fun to play.
Claw's sitting on the sprue in my bedroom. I love his sculpt so much. When I saw it at Adepticon, I was like, oh my God, this is like top five MCP sculpts. And I still think that.
Yeah, but he's really, really, he's great looking. And I think mine's going to the paint shop because I have a paint guy for like the cool models. I'm really, really eager to see what he comes up with for good old Ulysses.
Yeah, I gotta paint up my Claw and give this a burn. But I also want to ask about new Crossbones Merciless Merc. More E-shaped specialists, but let's hear it.
But yeah, honestly, new Crossbone has been really a huge surprise for me. He wasn't a character, a little like Claw, that read super well. But once you see him going on the table, he's really impressive. He puts up a bunch of work, and he's just like really, really good at it. Honestly, the biggest thing for me, like why these characters didn't end up making the cut, is just I needed more mobility. But still, they're, I wouldn't fault anyone for picking them and playing them in this list, especially in a mono CS list, where I think you have more room to fit in Mysterio and Crossbones.
My last one I want to ask about is Ulic. I think Ulic's really great. Obviously, Claw's 5 threat already, and you have Rhino kind of does a similar thing, but...
Yeah, honestly, like, it's nothing against Ulic. It's just a, like, Claw's leadership being very selfish and encouraging you to go as wide as possible. I felt 2 5 threats with like 6 die builder but no dice fixing was a little too, felt too much like gambling to my.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Rhino is like a way safer bet.
Yeah, and just like Claw's builder is really good, but having 2 6 die builder whiff happens if you have no fixing, and if it happens on both of your 5 threats, you're losing a round. And that just felt like not great. But when Claw's builder gets going, it's really nasty. Like, you get the stun trigger, they don't build power for it, and you can even end up like pushing damage through and having your target lose power, which feels really amazing every time it happens.
Yeah, I'll admit that is something I experienced, where I had like some, I was playing Hellfire into my local playing Claw, and I was playing Luke Cage. I obviously have Heroes for Hire, and it's like, Claw shot me once. Obviously, you don't want to really Heroes the first attack, because then you can guarantee if you survive. So Claw shot me and then like stunned me, and I lost power and I couldn't play Heroes on the second attack. And like,
I had a game like that last weekend at Everwinter. I played against Magneto Brotherhood, where he moved his Apex Predator down on the Central Gamma. I had Claw with a hammer just like move, punch him. I dealt 5 damage, got the trigger, took his power away. So you have an Apex with 1 power and 5 damage, just standing there and being stunned and like not doing anything. It felt like a really good round one. And just like these, his triggers are so brutal. Like, they're dicey, sure, but once you get, when you get them, they feel super oppressive. Which is one of the reasons why I really like his leadership, because you get to double tap very often. And just getting those triggers is really gross on like characters that need or want their power a lot. The last thing I'll go about Claw is like, you see just how much his push costs. Like, it's 3 power to push an enemy away in range 3 short. But with absorb vibrations, like whenever he gets attacked by physical energy defense or makes a dodge roll, he gains 1 power, and that builds up super fast. That was one of the things that also surprised me on it. Like, his kit looks really expensive, but he builds power surprisingly well, which to me was super nice. Like, he often has power to push 1 or 2 model around, and even when he heals himself for 2, like, as long as you were attacked by physical or energy, you're power positive on those interactions. And also, on 7 health, healing for 2 really shows that matters.
Yeah, remembering to gain your 1 power is really good.
Yes, like, it turns everything he has online. Like, don't forget your power.
I mean, it's similar to, like, Beast or Voodoo or Shuri, right? Where, like, how much power do you generate from Rolling Skulls with those characters in a game? Like, quite a lot.
And just, like, the set of immunity he has also comes in, like, surprisingly handy. Bleed, Incinerate, Poison, and Shock are, like, all super annoying conditions. So, Incinerate and Shock, just make sure his stats stay as they are. Like, your attacks dice don't go down, your defense dice don't go down. It's just, like, his skits comes surprisingly well together for how weird it looks on paper.
Yeah, he's immune to all the good conditions. I mean, he's immune to all the conditions Bill's immune to, plus Shock. Yeah, the only way really to slow him down is Hex, like, in terms of dice. But yeah, I was going to ask, what matchups do you think you like or don't like or whatever? I mean, we talked a little bit about webs briefly.
I think my favorite matchups are actually Kaijus, surprisingly enough. Like, Claw also plays super well into Guardian, since most of them aren't running Drax, which is basically the model you hate to see the most on the board. Just because, like, even with a Winget token, CGR doing 2 builder into Claw has under 25% of getting him, even with the Winget token, just because 5 defense dice and being immune to Incinerate with 7 health just makes him super tanky randomly into Guardians. Webs can't punch and can't control him super well. Like, it's really, you play really well into, like, both extremes, but most, like, I want to say, like, classic Wakanda plays super well into this list. Any team that can pivot well to either attrition or high scoring usually tend to do well, which is weird, but you just perform well into both Kaijus and scenario list overall. I think my worst matchups are probably, I want to say, Asgard and X-Men, just because they pay to flip, which the teams doesn't play super well, and they like wider maps overall. So yeah, I think that's mostly it, just because high scenario teams, when they play the F-shape extracts, you're fine with if you're playing Claw, because if you're playing Elektra, because she gets to pass tokens onto Claw and get him going super fast. So it's just like, not the matchups you think you're bad on, that you're bad on, if that makes sense.
I mean, you said you weren't good on pay to flips, but I mean, Claw's got 5 dice for spider portals. And I was going to ask about meteors now that I've jogged my memory.
Yeah. Honestly, I tried both. On meteors, I liked my experience well enough, but not enough to put it on the list. I think if I'm stuck onto it, I like it well enough, but not enough to play it myself. Deadly Meteors was, for me, a strong consideration, and I think might go in my list going over Scoundrels, just have another slow scoring and damaging crisis. So this list is still a work in progress. Like, I think I can refine it still a little more, especially with new characters coming out. But that's probably the next thing I'm going to do with the list, just give Meteor another try, because I think this list can play fairly well.
Yeah, I think Claw having 5 dice, his leadership letting him move between the meteors, like, relatively easily.
Yeah, Hela having 4 dice, both Claw and Hela being able to heal the damage are super relevant. Like, Rhino plays it super fine. Like, he's mobile, he has decent dice. M'Baku's a little sad, but, like, I think the team plays it well enough that it's worth considering, at least for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it really just comes down to, like, do you think you can brawl with the big dogs on meteors? And it sounds like you are fine to the Kaijus, so
at least that's been my experience so far.
Yeah, I mean, how have you felt, like, into Hulks, like Immortal or regular Hulk?
Really well, actually, just because if you push them short every round, you tax their power economy so much by forcing them to leap, which is still not as far as a short move. So sometimes you functionally stagger them when they're, like, too close to the max threat range they need to be in, and that feels really, really good. The only thing you need to be careful is not to get double tapped by a Hulk on Claw, but that's why I have Okoye, that's why I have Sacrifice. Just try to not get hit too much by the big physical Kaijus, but against Malekith, CGR, and, like, all of the big energy attackers, you're super fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, like you said, you have Okoye. If you're pushing Hulk away and he has to Gamma Leap, chances are, and you're, like, ignoring him even, chances are he's not.
He's not doing that much.
Right. Yeah. He's going to have a hard time to like jump in, throw like a Koye out of the way and actually go into Claw. He's got to have 5 power and he also has to have his dice cooperate, which can definitely not happen.
And when you combine it with Black Hat, that can just troublemaker them. Like if they need to Gamma Leap, they're staggered, they have 1 7 die attack. I'll take that for a 6 strat like any day.
Yeah, the chance that like Claw doesn't die to that and then can then push Hulk away and then heal on Claw's turn seems pretty good.
Which has been my experience so far. And like if you take 1 attack, usually you take like what 1, 2, 3 damage. You can heal most of that and just keep controlling them away and be power positive from absorbed vibrations. So overall, it's been not as hard as I thought it would be.
This is interesting because I think Kingpin has had a kaiju problem or does have one currently. Like Hulk is a nightmare for Kingpin.
Yep. He just gets to control all your potatoes at once. So yeah, I think honestly, that's to come back to the take I had early on the recording where I think Claw is honestly the second best CS leader. And I think the one that complements Kingpin the best. He doesn't need that much of an accommodation. Like basically you play Electra, probably Hela, and that's about it, right? So he's not compromising your list too much while staying in affiliation.
Yeah, like I would 100% keep Bullseye, Black Cat, and Rhino.
They work well with both lists, and then you can splash whatever else you need to fill up those holes.
Yeah, exactly. You could bring in more map E stuff. You could bring like Mysterio. You could bring in more.
Yeah, you can bring new Crossbones. Like there's a bunch of good characters you can play that just fits the niche you need or go well with both Claw and Kingpin.
Oh man, this sounds so fun. I have to bring this to game night now. I got to paint up my Claw.
Yeah, honestly, that's been my game night list for a couple weeks at least, and it's just super fun to play. Like, even if it's not tip-top competitive, it's going to catch people off guard enough that you're going to steal games you shouldn't have won. And that always feels good.
Well, I don't even know if I agree with that it's not tip-top competitive. I mean, there's people who are doing really well with Kingpin. I guess I should say I haven't seen Kingpin win a big tournament, like, basically ever. Unless I'm wrong on that, but people win with Kingpin. The Claw seems like a much, much better map E plan than Shadowlands or MODOK. Yeah, because MODOK wants you to be like holding and contesting things for it to work, and then demons is a problem, and Shadowlands warps your list too much to even function.
I agree, and I think, honestly, if I was to continue exploring Claw, like, the next step for this roster would probably to switch to a mono CS with Kingpin. But I'm still really excited for King T'Challa and think I'll stick to the Wakanda Splash for now because I'm really excited for King T'Challa both in Claw and both with Claw under his own leadership.
I mean, I think that's how AMG has intended for this to be designed, right? Like, Claw comes with a Wakanda character. Claw's like Wakanda adjacent in the lore, and there's really cool synergies there with King T'Challa's leadership, like you said.
Another huge plus for Claw I'll bring up, because I almost forgot, but almost every tool that list needs is still in for timelines. Like, with my current list, I basically lose Black Panther and Killmonger. But Black Panther I intended to replace with T'Challa. And you lose Hela, which sure is a bummer. Every, like, very important tool you need.
You lose Bullseye.
That's true. But Bullseye is not, like, he's good to fit in points, but he's not a must-have. Like, you can still play Okoye, which is a very fine 2 threat. You still have Black Hat, Electra, and Rhino, which I think, honestly, Electra is probably the only character that's permanently attached to Claw. Most of the list, actually, like most of the tools you need to make Claw work, are still in for timeline. Like, I would try it out in timeline.
Yeah, I could see. That's an interesting duel. Like, a Wakanda Claw Syndicate list.
How good is it in timeline? I don't know. Haven't played it too much, but I think if you have time and want to try it out, I encourage the listeners to do so.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, at a minimum, there's going to be a lot of people who don't even know what the heck you're doing.
Like, the number of times I've sat down across a player on a tournament or TTS game and they were like, what the heck does Claw do? They read the leadership, they read the card, and still get got. Like, that push keeps catching people off guard all the time. Like, especially when they're trying to double move and fight for secure, and you're like, I'll pay 3, push you away. Bye-bye.
Yep, you'll love to see it.
That feels just super, like, that's one of the fun things with him to play. You just get to control people and be really obnoxious, but not enough that it feels oppressive. I think he really surfs that line very well of like being annoying and disruptive, but not like feeling like you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I played against Claw in my first timeline game in the Longshanks League that's happening, and thankfully Lizard was able to just chuck him away so I could actually stand on the secure.
But yeah, I encourage listeners to try him out. He plays a lot better than he reads, and he's honestly just super fun to play.
Yeah, and he has a top 5 sculpt, so that helps.
Yep, that helps a lot. Especially like well-painted, I could see him being really awesome on the table.
Were there any other crises that I forgot to bring up that maybe would be useful?
I'll talk about the F-shaped crises. Just because of the ninjas and Claw interactions, I did try them out. Claw also really likes cubes, just because he can heal it and scale super well with extra power. But I found that playing against other big scenario teams, you wouldn't have enough tools to actually like control and win the game on scenario. So I ended up not playing them.
Yeah, I feel like with cubes in particular, if you have to consider, like, can you beat Hellfire on cubes?
And I don't think the answer is yes. So yeah, I think they were nice to try. Like, if you're stuck on cube or spider infected with this list, you're going to do fine. But I think you're not doing well enough that you want to put them in your list. And I think that sums up a lot of the crises for me with this list. Like, you play fine on most crises, but the crises you actually want to put on the table are a lot narrower than the one you're able to deal with.
Is there anything else that I missed? I mean, I guess we could ask maybe about Wakanda cards. I mean, like, Spirit of Wakanda's not here. I mean, no R&D.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And for me, since the main goal was to play Claw as much as possible, both Brace and Sacrifice felt too important to sack for R&D and Spirit of Wakanda, because then you're committing like 3 to 4 cards, but functionally 4 cards to Wakanda, which feels too much for a splash to fix your bad crises. But I think honestly, like, the next step with this list would be to try Claw as a B plan and E shape specialist for Kingpin going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. If any listeners are listening to this and they like are gung ho on playing mono Criminal Syndicate, I think that would definitely be the approach. So as with tradition, what Marvel character do you want in this game the most that isn't here yet?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's a couple, but I think I'll go with a spicy pick. I think I have like 2 or 3 characters I'd really like to see. Mutants, obviously, just to annoy all the non-X-Men players out there. I think Blink is a character I'd really like to see in MCP. Rasputin, number 4. Is also super cool if you're reading the current comics. She's really great. She would hopefully be a dope sculpt in MCP. Who else was the other character I'd really like to see? But Doom, obviously, but everyone wants Doom, so it's not as special. But hopefully we'll get him sometime. And it'll stop being a meme.
He's in the land of why hasn't Leonardo DiCaprio won an Oscar? And then he did. But yeah, I think it's just Disney. And then, are you a hero or a villain, as Sploosh wants to know?
Ooh, that is a really hard question. Since I'm an X-Men player at heart, a villain, just because Professor X is honestly the bad guy. He doesn't get enough credit as is. And so, I mean, the guy's using child soldiers, so I won't condone what he's doing, but definitely a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, but Cyclops is a good guy.
Yep. He's the best, but he's still my B-liner, so bad guy at heart.
Is Professor X your favorite X-Men character?
No, I really hate Professor X.
Okay, yeah.
My favorite X-Men are probably like Colossus and Nightcrawler. The ones I dislike the most are Wolverine and Professor X, which are very popular character, but I really don't like them in general. But yeah. Looking forward to see what their cards look like.
Me too. Well, we know Xavier's a leader, so that should be exciting. And then you should tell the listeners what content you make.
Yeah, I have a blog called MCP First Class, which is mostly centered on X-Men. It covers basically everything from like round 0 when 1, how to pivot on scenarios. I have primers, character review. Like, if you want to play X-Men, it's a good place to start. Like, I cover pretty much all the bases. I do tournament reports. I played them a lot for a very, very long time. So if you're out there and want to learn how to play X-Men, feel free to check it out. Or even DM me on Discord. You can find me at VodkaBlitz on most MCP Discords, honestly.
All right, Simon. Thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure as always.
Yep. And listeners, we will see you next time. Bye.